This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Minnesota State Senate Majority Leader Amy Koch. She joins me now as the state government shutdown in Minnesota is well into its second week. And there appears to be a pretty protracted standoff ahead of us in the Gopher State as a result of Democratic Governor Mark Dayton wanting to resolve a $5 billion budget impasse, at least in part through tax increases. Republicans in both the State House and Senate say absolutely not, and have campaigned and won the majorities in those chambers based on a no new taxes pledge. And Senator Koch, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned, this has been going on, I guess, about a week and a half now. And it was last week where we saw from the Speaker of the House, Mr. Zellers, that it appeared that actually negotiations were headed in the wrong direction rather than moving closer to a resolution here. Now that the weekend is past us, where do we stand?
Well, we've hit now over the weekend the 10-day mark, actually 11 days as of today. And so we have the unfortunate distinction of being the longest shutdown in U.S. history, at least recent U.S. history that we can find. Not a thing that we're proud of, but the discussion and the debate has not changed. And it's interesting because I'll listen to what's happening on a federal level when we're talking about raising the debt ceiling. And the arguments used by the Democrats are very similar to the arguments being used here in Minnesota to increase spending. Republicans in Minnesota passed the largest general fund budget in the state's history. Republicans did that. We campaigned on lower, no taxes and lower spending, but we knew we were with a governor that wanted to increase spending, and so we met him. We met him in the middle with what we consider a moderate increase, about a 6% increase. A lot of my members weren't pleased with that. They wanted to reduce, but we knew what we were up against, and still, that's not enough for this governor. This governor is proposing up to a double-digit increase in state spending. We have actually about almost four billion dollars more in revenue than the last two years. Yet again, that's not enough for this governor. And so, unfortunately, you know, that is the situation we are in. And we had to adjourn as of May 23rd by Constitution, and the legislature cannot call itself back in. So we would like to pass at least a lights-on bill and get government up and running again. But we cannot go back into session unless the governor calls us in. So we are currently waiting for the governor and asking him repeatedly every day to please call us back. Let's get a temporary lights-on bill and then continue to discuss the budget.
A couple of follow-ups based on what you just said. First of all, has the governor given you any reason as to why he won't allow you to go back and pass some resolutions, some spending bills, to at least get some of the government back up and running?
Nothing satisfactory. In fact, we have about 9 budget bills that need to be passed, and on 6 of those budget bills, we are largely in agreement with him. K-12, higher ed, public safety, environment, we could have our parks open, and the governor is refusing to call us in and even pass those bills where there is agreement. You know, a lot of folks are saying, you know, this is maximum pain for political gain, that he is, you know, basically holding those areas of the budget hostage to the 3 budget areas that need the most work, and that is health and human services, that's Medicaid, Medicare match, welfare benefits, state government. Obviously, we have issues with the you know, state employees and their benefits and their wages. And then thirdly is the tax aids and credits portion of the budget. But those 3 areas are the only 3 that are really left to discuss. The other 6, we have agreement. And the governor, frankly, he's not given Minnesota any satisfactory answer on why he won't call us back and at least agree to those. And so, you know, you have to start to think, is this just political posturing and leveraging?
There seems to be a collision here of 2 relatively consistent themes. Americans, for the most part, like to see their governments being able to get things done, so they don't like government shutdowns, regardless of who might be more to blame for them. At the same time, clearly, the fact that you're a majority leader and other legislative majorities have changed at the state and national level in the last several months suggests that folks want a more responsible, more streamlined government. So as these 2 issues collide here, how are the people of Minnesota responding to all this?
Well, you know, it is. I think you're right. I think a lot of folks, they do want government to work, and this is not something that I'm happy with or proud of, and that's why we've said repeatedly to the governor, hey, let's pass these bills we agree with. Let's get some wins under our belt. Let's get some wind in our sails. I think that's a great way to start, show some progress for the people of Minnesota. We have some honest disagreements in areas that really do need work, so we could pass temporary funding for the rest areas of the budget and continue to work on that. That, I think, is the most effective route, and that's the route to success here. But again, that would require the governor to step up and call us back to session and agree to pass those budget bills or at least a temporary lights-on bill. That's what's needed in the state of Minnesota to get us going again.
Republicans are obviously adamant in no new taxes, so and the governor seems adamant that there should be new taxes. So how long do you think this standoff could last?
Well, it could end tonight. The governor wanted to call us back in, get a lights on bill. At one point in the negotiations prior to shutdown, the governor had given up on his tax increase. The Republicans had responded with some more revenue, but we wanted it tied to reforms. If we're going to give additional revenue, if we're going to spend more, we want to tie it to reforms that change how we spend in the future so we can get the spending in control. But the governor then backed away from that deal, and that is why we are in shutdown. So I continue to be hopeful, and as I said, I could get my members, I'd like to be back in tonight and passing a lights on bill, and we could have that, but we need the governor to call us back.
It obviously isn't nearly enough to remove the $5 billion shortfall here, but the fact that the government's been shut down for a week and a half, now 11 days, as you said earlier, how much money is being affected by that fact alone? How much is potentially being saved, although obviously no one wants to see this go in perpetuity?
Yeah, no, and in fact, the immediate shutdown, there's actually no savings. There's cost to the state. There's cost in shutting down. There's cost in then firing it back up. There's cost to private companies. Even though our transportation budget is largely, actually over 99% of it is dedicated funds. It comes from our gas tax and our motor vehicle sales tax. That area of the budget has been shut down. The entire $5 billion in road projects, even though it's dedicated funding, has been closed off. That costs money, and Minnesota also has a very short construction season, and so if the potholes are not being filled, it becomes more difficult to fill them as the summer goes on, and so it is costing, and so that begins to affect the private sector. We've got private businesses that are being held up for a boiler inspection, although even again, they pay those fees. That's not tax revenue that's going towards that, and so private enterprise is now being affected and hurt unnecessarily. Absolutely unnecessarily as this shutdown continues.
And we're talking here in our last couple moments with Amy Koch. She's the state Senate Majority Leader for the state of Minnesota. And Senator, the argument I'm sure you're getting from the other side is very similar to the argument that John Boehner and other Republicans are getting here in Washington over the debt ceiling limit debate, which you mentioned before is kind of an interesting parallel. These two things are happening at the same time. When folks ask you, why are you sticking so feverishly, so strongly to this pledge not to raise taxes, wouldn't all of this be done if there was just a small compromise in that area?
Yeah, and here's the answer. One, Minnesota is already the seventh highest tax state in the nation, and it hasn't helped our deficits at all. What we have is not a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And the governor would like to make this debate about who's getting taxed and how much they're being taxed. And isn't it only fair that the rich pay their fair share? That's a simplistic argument. The real discussion needs to be about the spending. And as I said, this is the largest general fund budget the Republicans have passed, the largest general fund budget in the state's history. And that is still not enough for this governor. It's about the spending, and families and businesses across the state, across the country, have been living for the last 2-3 years with the same amount of money, or in a lot of times less, as their jobs are cut, their hours are cut, their costs are going up, gas prices are up, food prices are up, and they're living with less. And they look at state government and they say, you know, you just need to live within your means. We don't have any more money to give you. And certain tax hikes are going to further hurt our business environment.
Senator, we'll have to stop there. Thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Minnesota State Senate Majority Leader Amy Koch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.